on Friday we started to study this 70 weeks of Daniel. Do you have that map? Let me have it. The great chart. So let's go to Daniel 9. There's something we've talked about many years ago that I've forgotten about, and I want to concentrate on that this morning. So starting in, we read this Friday, but we'll do it again. In verse 20, he said, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of Israel, of my God, excuse me. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or sacrifice, and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." We talked about this Friday, but I want to talk about it again. There's nothing more important than understanding the difference between prayer and supplication. It was at the beginning of the supplication that God sent Gabriel. Not at the beginning of his prayer, at the ending of his prayer, but supplication. And supplication is where you die and he lives. There's no more you in the picture. There's no more you about anything. You are gone. That's what's pleasing to God. That's why he said, thou art, where did he say it?
Really beloved.
And verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And there was nothing special about Daniel except supplication. And that's the truth for each one of the prophets. At the beginning of thy supplication, presenting himself as a living sacrifice. Same as Romans 12. Every issue about him has gone. Anybody understand that a minute?
That's excellent.
What?
That's excellent.
And that's just what we're called to do. Present thou bodies a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to any aspect of the world. You're not a part of the world. You have no purpose in the world. The only purpose for you in the world now is what God wants to do, and that's to prove which is that good and perfect and holy will of God, which is Christ in you, the Holy. And he's proven by your mind and his mind being in agreement. And that's the emptying of all things about you. Then you begin for the first time to continue with him in his test. Because tests, your tests have no truck with God. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. His temptation has no home. and human nature. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's continue. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those are, consider those things. To make an end of sin. That wasn't him taking away the sin of the world. That's a wholly different thing. This is making an end of sin in you, making an end of self in you. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, know therefore and understand that from the beginning, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, I'd ask Pete to make copies of these, but I guess we didn't, did we?
Not yet.
Okay.
Sorry.
The scriptures start with Jesus in the terms of his ministry at the middle of the week at his baptism. This is where he caused the oblation to cease, or the sacrifice to cease, from God's standpoint. But what did he do from the first 3.5 weeks of this? Here, look at this chart again. You take it. Give it to Gary a minute. What did he do the first 3.5 weeks? In the middle of the 7 weeks, he caused the oblation to cease. He caused the sacrifices to cease from God's viewpoint, because he was baptized and buried as Son of Man. But what did he do for that first 3.5 years? That's when the wall was built and the road in front of the wall, or to access the temple, was finished. It took... This is called Herod's temple. It took 46 years to build that temple. That's that temple being finished. And when the wall was finished, then the temple was ready. What does it say? I keep getting confused about that. Restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, and 2 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Something we know of the 3.5 years that from Christ's baptism to his crucifixion. But what did he do the first 3.5 years? So there's two mysteries here. One is, the only thing that is written about Christ that's been considered part of the canon is that there was one thing written when he was 12, when he was his bar mitzvah, if you will, at Passover. Then nothing else is written about him until the middle of the seventh, until the week, until his baptism. So from 12 to 30, 18 years, there's nothing written about him. There's a lot written about his birth, a little bit about bar mitzvah, and then a lot written from his baptism on. What did he do during all that time? Remember, this cycle was repeated every three and a half years. Sometimes some say three, some say three and a half, but I think from this it was three and a half, but anyway. Well, wait a minute. But for every part of this, from the time of his 12, when he could then be part of his Seder, until the7 years, every scripture, he was a slow dawning awareness. My God, this is talking about me. This is talking about me. He may have realized it was talking about him, and that's what I think happened when the wall was finished, so he could go in and go present the go in and be part of the sacrificial system. But I think that purpose was not just to see that his mind was vain, the Son of Man was vain from the standpoint of the things of the world, but he had to see that his mind was vain, empty, even with regard to the sacrifices. And I think that's what the first 3.5 years were about. So that every aspect of it, of his life, he could know that as Son of Man, there was no hope. And then finally, when he saw that, he was buried. He was killed, typically buried in baptism. Now the same thing has to happen in us. That's the only way the mind of Christ can be in you. You first have to see the vanity and emptiness of all the world, and then you have to see the vanity and emptiness except as a parable for the sacrifices, or for religion, if you will. For you trying to do something. Nothing of faith, even nothing of what we call the zone, it requires any thought. In fact, if there is thought, it screws it up, no matter what it is. If it's, you know, he saw his mind, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we have to see it, my mind. Now we have to see that our religion is crap. We have to see that we're not in the picture. I used to say this often, but I've searched the scriptures many times and read through the Bible many, many times. I've never seen my name in it. But so this is that 3.5 years from the time the wall was built, means the temple was finished and the sacrificial system began again, then he saw the emptiness except as a picture of even the religious aspect of Judaism. Now, he had to see it for the first time. We've got thousands of scriptures now to show us. But we still want to think that something about us. We still want there to be some little piece of us in here. It's really only after you see the emptiness of that too that baptism has efficacy. Baptism isn't just a rite of, you know, a religious experience. It's the end of you. The burial of you. And the same thing had to happen in Christ. This is what we hadn't talked about for many, many years. What did he do for that first 3.5 years of the seventh? The 70th week of Daniel.
Help me out on this time frame. Because his ministry was 3.5 years.
Well, the verse 27 addresses it here in this passage. It tells specifically that he ran out there, but it says he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, which is his baptism.
So the beginning, he's confirming the covenant in terms of just its religious aspect.
In the beginning, meaning when he was 30?
Yeah, no.
26.
The first time that little beautiful map comes down.
Some concept of part of his life before his ministry began.
He confirmed the covenant. He accomplished the sacrifices. Until he saw, my God, that's just religion. That has to see, I have to die. That son of man.
It's almost as if, probably is, he gets in agreement with God because it in fact already is dead, and just don't see it. And it's close.
Yeah, but it has to not just be seen, it has to be lived. And that's what he, that's his, you know. Maybe that might probably during that first 3.5 years, he probably thought, "Yeah, I can be the. This is all about me, but I don't have to die."
Yeah.
Same with us. The first 3.5 years of that 7 year, the 70th week is what we pronounce. We've always talked about the 70th week, but I haven't talked about this. I don't think I've ever talked about this except in bananas. Well, I remember it really got Harry upset.
What got him upset?
What I just said this morning. Because that showed, because Christ, even Christ had to find out that it wasn't about him as Son of Man. And he had to find out it's not about him.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you something. Who would ever invent a religion that had nothing to do with you? Or the person of the religion that's
doing? It certainly
doing?
Wouldn't be man.
No, that's why a lot of, my God, there's, if you go into Buddhism and even part of Islam and all of, there's this thing about being, what's the name of the way and... There was an article in the paper about this yesterday. It's the Wu Wei, is the Chinese way of saying, or Buddha, maybe it's Buddha. One of them, Wu Wei. No, it's not Buddha, it's the other guy. And it means the way. But it's the way without consciousness. And so they all knew, these guys, ancients knew that, but they couldn't figure out how to get there from here. Because they had all the exercises of yoga and all of the other crap that I did for so many years. 7 different paths in yoga, but it's all it's all without repentance.
Well, it's all without a savior. You don't want to be weak and need to be saved. You want to do your exercises.
Yeah, but it's much more than about a savior. A savior can keep you in the picture. This is the startling result of what, if we think about it, what we said this morning. Unbelievable result that I'm not here. I'm gone. Except as a vessel that has no, but the vessel has been, we've always been a vessel, but all these years have been a vessel for the instead of Christ, that God tried to exalt me, keep me alive, keep me in the picture. All these Asian ancient ways all are with discipline to try to be in the way. But Christ demands death. Yours is the only way to be in the way. No more resurrection of self. Self didn't get resurrected. He alone has immortality. You don't. But look at modern Christianity. It's invented a system of Christianity, a system of thought, just like all the other religions did, to keep the individual in the way, in the purpose. And that's all our minds want to do. Our minds insist that somehow we must be in the picture. No. That's what repentance does. It removes you. Not just I'm sorry, or I'm going to do better, or I'm improving. You're not there anymore. Now that's, if we can see it, if you can hear what I've said, it's the lesson of that crazy chart.
Lesson what?
Of that chart.
Oh, crazy chart.
Now, this is why Christ, look at, he had 5,000 followers. And at the end, he had 12. 5,988 left. And then at the end, he had none.
Yeah, they all either were silent or betrayed him.
Well, the silence betrayed them anyway.
Yeah.
That's why it says, and everything prefigured this in Exodus, it says every person must kill the sacrifice. So if every person, if you don't recognize that you killed the sacrifice, then you still keep you alive.
Yeah, you don't think you deserve that.
Well, you may think you deserve death, but you say Christ died instead of me. For me, to keep me alive. Anybody have any response? Have any of you heard this before?
This, of course, I've heard it many times in bananas.
But, no, I'm talking about a long time ago bananas. You haven't heard about the three and a half years?
I've heard you talk about it, recent bananas and a long time ago, too.
Okay.
A short time before I went back to the Rose Group.
Did we make a trade for you and
Kim?
Kim?
At some point, I don't know. But I do remember this study was years ago and this one.
I don't remember that. Okay, yeah, I didn't understand it.
Pardon?
I probably didn't understand it. I didn't realize this was talking about starting when Jesus was 27.
26.
26. So that's
the 7 years.
Yeah.
But that's why it's silent. That's why there's nothing written about the 3.5 years. So that What does it say? What's Isaiah 28, I think. Wait a minute. And it's quoted all over the New Testament. I hope it's Isaiah 28, so I'm going to have to go try to find it. It's where he said, lest they be converted. Seeing they shall see and not see, and hearing they shall hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and I should heal them. Anybody know where that is? Oh, I know it. Look under converted, and if you have any kind of concordance, that'll be there. Somebody sing a song while we're doing this. No, don't. How was this? It says, this is why the scriptures say that seeing they shall see and not see, hearing they shall hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and I should heal them.
And he's talking to
us.
Our mind, flesh, us.
That's Isaiah 6:9.
All right. Thank you, Pete. That's why you make the big bucks.
Give him a raise.
Bam. Great change.
If I get paid, I get a raise.
Raise is
called. Yeah. And starting in verse 11 of Mark 4, he's talking to the disciples. Now, I should have remembered this one. Verse 11, Mark 4. To the disciples specifically, unto you, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, i.e. not disciples, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
And that's a quote of Isaiah 6:9, right?
Yeah. I mean, but it's all over them. It's in Matthew 13:14 and Luke. I could see. I got to get glasses. Luke 8:10. John 12:40, Acts 26:26, Romans 11:8. So it's a bunch. Isaiah starts, the first one is Isaiah 6:9, that's what he quotes. Lest at any, the operative word is lest. That can't happen from God's standpoint. Amen? All right. This is, if you hear this, this is a biggie. It finally puts the coda or the stamp You finally understand there's nothing in this Bible about you except as the evil one. It's about him and his bride.
Even Paul confirmed that, saying, "I'm chief of sinners."
Well, because he knew he was the Antichrist. The chief of sinners is the Antichrist. All right. We'll get back to Luke, I hope, tomorrow. But anybody want to expand on the tale, or do you understand it a little better, differently? Or?
I like this consideration of what must his life have been those silent years. And it's appropriate that it's not spoken.
Yeah, because if it is, we'd copy it. That's why the way can't be copied. It can't be acted. If you try to do it, you fail.
And yet to be certain that he went through so much of seeing and realizing who he was and accepting and rejecting and everything man would do. And he had to go through all that to become who he was, the high priest.
I am. So do we. So we are only, we have no modifiers. There's neither male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, American or Russian or Mexican or anything. No more. I am. No modifiers. I am because he is. As he is in the world, so are we. All right, take a big guy.